Good morning. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bible to Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. And we're in a study of the book of Esther, and each week we're just going through one chapter. We're just reading one chapter each week, and in 10 weeks we'll complete the book of Esther. What a great book the book of Esther is. It's a book that emphasizes the providence of God. And the idea of providence means to see beforehand, and God's able to see beforehand stuff in our lives, and so he's able to act and do to make everything work out for our ultimate good. Because remember, God is not mentioned in the book, but yet he's everywhere in the book. In chapter 3, last week we saw that Haman had launched his plan to, as he says it, to destroy, to kill and annihilate the Jews. That's his plan. And now it's been enacted in law. And so on the 13th day of the 12th month, the Jews are to be annihilated. They are to be destroyed. What's interesting is, we saw last week, that if King Saul had been obedient and wiped out the Amalekites, they wouldn't be in this situation. Because we saw that Haman is an Amalekite. So 800 years later, after Saul was told by God to destroy men and women, little children, suckling, animals, everything, Saul did not do that. And now 800 years later, they have to deal with that enemy once again. And what's this enemy wants to do? To destroy male, female, man, woman, child, suckling, everything that God told Saul to do to the Amalekites, Haman now wants to do to the Jews. So notice in chapter 4, verse 1, when Mordecai learned all that had happened, notice his response. So when he got word of the law, now that on the 13th day of the 12th month, the Jews are going to die, when he hears about this and he's informed about this, notice his response. He tore his clothes. He put on sackcloth and ashes. And he went out into the midst of the city and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. So that's his response. He's devastated to know that the Jews are going to face annihilation down the road. I think it's interesting that he goes into the middle of the city to mourn and to cry aloud rather than in some safe place or a quiet place. He does it in the midst of the city where people can see. And that's how Esther gets word. And so I think one little bit of application you can make from this is simply this. You can't be an undercover Christian. God wants us to be out in the open with our faith. Not hidden, not somewhere in the corner, but out in front of everyone expressing our faith in Jesus Christ. We can't be undercover Christians. We can't be in a secret service and follow Jesus. We have to be open with our faith. So Mordecai is open. Verse 2. And he went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. You can't have a Debbie Downer come in the king's gate. No, this is a place where happiness is supposed to be all the time, and you can't let people who are down in. And in verse 3, it says, and in every province where the king's command and the decree arrive, notice, as Jews all over the kingdom are now getting word, it says, notice their response. There was great mourning among the Jews with fasting and weeping and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and in ashes. And so they are responding very similar to the way Mordecai responded when he heard the news. This is sad. So in verse 4. So Esther's maids and the eunuchs came and they told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. And then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and to take sackcloth away from him. But notice, but he would not accept them. He wouldn't do it. And then Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, to whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai. Learn what and why this was. Go to Mordecai and find out what's going on. I want to know why he's weeping and wailing. I want to know why the Jews throughout the kingdom are weeping and wailing. What's going on? So she, verse 5, then Esther called Hathach, one of the eunuchs, and appointed him to attend her. And she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to put into the king's treasury to destroy the Jews. Remember that sum of money? 375 tons of silver. That's what that equals. This is a lot of money. I mean, this guy right here would be the Elon Musk of that day. This guy is extremely wealthy. Where he got all his wealth, I don't know. But he's very wealthy. He's not Persian, as we saw. But notice verse 8. And he gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, that he might command her to go to the king and to make supplication to him and plead before him and for her people. And so Mordecai is wanting to encourage Esther to now go before the king, Ahasuerus, and plead for God's people, to plead for the Jews, lest they suffer this terrible fate, this destruction, this annihilation that awaits them. And so verse 9, so Hathach returned and told Esther these words of Mordecai. And he said, Esther, this is what your cousin wants you to do. He wants you to go before the king and plead on behalf of your people. Verse 10, then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command to Mordecai. Notice verse 11, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court of the king who has not been called has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go to the king these 30 days. And so they told Mordecai Esther's words. And so Esther, you know, makes it clear that, hey, you just can't go before the king. I just can't walk in there, because if I walk in there, if he doesn't extend the golden scepter to me, I get the death penalty. And so basically what Mordecai is encouraging Esther to do is to be involved in a suicide mission. Because she doesn't know if she's going to live. She doesn't know if he's going to extend the golden scepter. And she points out, and by the way, I haven't been called these 30 days. I'm not the flavor of the month, is what she's saying. What she's saying is, I've not been called to be with him for 30 days. I haven't seen his face. I haven't talked to him for 30 days. I haven't had relations with him for 30 days. It's been a while. I haven't been in his presence, and now you want me to just enter the king's presence? That's what Mordecai wants her to do. And she realizes that this could not end well. This could be the end of her life. And so this is a very difficult moment for Esther. So verse 13, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther. Here's what Mordecai said. He says, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Mordecai makes it clear to Esther. He says, look, Esther, yeah, you may die going in before the king. You may very well die, but you're going to die if you don't go before the king. So either way, you could go. And so you need to go before the king. He says, because, yeah, you very well could die. You very well could do that. If you're silent, listen, if you are silent at this moment, salvation will arise from another place. Now, my question is, where? And is Mordecai thinking that God will deliver his people? Is that what he has in mind? Because remember, God isn't mentioned in the book. There are no pronouns that reference God. He, him, his, none of those. God's name is not there. Lord is not there. None of those terms are in this book. So what is he talking about? And even when Esther encourages fasting, and she will in a minute, and earlier in chapter 4, when the Jews throughout the kingdom hear word of this plot to destroy the Jews, they're fasting, but there's no prayer. No one mentions prayer. It's just fasting. Fasting has no power. There's nothing in fasting on its own. Fasting is always associated with prayer in the Bible. But it's so interesting that prayer is never mentioned. And so what does Mordecai mean that salvation will come from another place? I struggle with this verse. I really struggle with this verse. Because I thought, man, if I tell you guys, if you are unfaithful to the Great Commission, God will raise up someone else to get the job done. If I say that, my fear is you won't fulfill the Great Commission. You'll wait for God to raise up someone else. But know that if that's the case, you are in disobedience to God. And Jesus says, and why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? If we don't do what Jesus says do, he ain't Lord. He's not your Lord. He might be other people's Lord, but he's not your Lord. Because if he's Lord, you do what he says. If you don't do what he says, he's not your Lord. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. And so he points out that salvation will come. It will come for the Jews. But you, Esther, you will perish. You're not going to be safe. You think you're safe in the palace. You're not safe in the palace. You're not going to be safe. You will die in the palace if you're silent. If you don't say a word. So many are guilty of the violence of silence. We simply don't speak when we should. We don't speak for God when we should. And he points out to Esther. He says, look, Esther, maybe, just maybe, you came to the throne for this very purpose. Maybe that's why you're here. And again, is Mordecai thinking God brought you to this place for this moment? Esther, this is your moment. This is your moment. If you've ever had a moment, this is your moment. This is your time to act. Go and plead on behalf of your people. Be a hero, Esther, for such a time as this. Maybe that's why she ascended to the throne. I believe in the story, that's why she ascends the throne, right? She's in the place that she needs to be to intercede for her people, right? And so it's a great thing. But what about us? What about us when it comes to for such a time as this? Is this one of those for such a time as this moments for you? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe this is one of those moments where you decide that I'm going to come to God through Christ. I'm going to obey the gospel. This is that moment in time when God wants me to act, when God wants me to respond to the gospel. Maybe, just maybe, someone at work, your position now to speak and share the gospel with this person, and everything has worked, you're in this place, and now you have an opportunity to speak. You have an opportunity to share the gospel. What are you going to do for such a time as this? And maybe, just maybe, God brought you to this place where you are in your life at this moment for that very purpose, for this person to be saved. Maybe, just maybe. Maybe you need to confront a brother or a sister in sin, and you've held your tongue. You've been afraid to speak. You've been afraid to speak because of the consequences. And you're thinking that, well, this may not go well, and this may be the end of that friendship if I confront him or her. This is for such a time as this moment. What will you do? Will you speak or remain silent? You see, we all have these moments. This is not unique to Esther. Esther's not the only one who gets for such a time as this. We all get these moments in life. And I believe these moments are not grand. You know, once in a lifetime, a moment like this comes along. No, I believe for such a time as this comes along periodically in our lives. There are many moments in life where we have for such a time as this, where God wants us to raise up and speak on His behalf, to say something for His people, to share the gospel with those who are lost, to restore those who have fallen away. What will you do? Is this your moment? What will you do with this moment? Hopefully you do what Esther did. Verse 15 says, "Then Esther told them, 'Reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days nor day or night. My maids and I will fast likewise.'" Notice again, no prayer. It's just fasting. It's just fasting. Are we to assume prayer? I don't want to assume something when it comes to the Bible, right? I want to know. I want to be accurate. I want to be biblical. I don't want to speak where the Bible doesn't speak. I want to be biblical. So I don't know. Maybe we're to take from that, yeah, there was prayer, but it's not stated. And I think that's interesting. She says, "I will go to the king, which is all against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Notice her resolve. She's ready to go. She is going to go before the king. And we're going to see how that turns out when we get into chapter 5 and chapter 6. But I don't want to leave here today without you seizing that moment in your life for such a time as this. What is that for you? Maybe that's a rededication of your life. Maybe you have been unfaithful. Maybe this is you coming back. And you're going to express Jesus as my Lord again. Are you going to obey the gospel? Are you going to share that with someone at work? Are you going to store a brother or sister, whatever that moment is? Be an Esther. Seize the moment. Take advantage of it and speak. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much and we're so thankful for the love that you've lavished on us in Jesus Christ. And God, I know that there are so many moments in our lives, opportunities, like Esther had in this text, for such a time as this. And maybe you've positioned us where we are in our lives to do the work that you want us to do. I believe that. I believe that we see this all through this book, where you're positioning people in the right place so that your will can be done. And so, God, I just pray that as you position us throughout the world, I pray, Father, that we'll be sensitive to those moments when you want us to rise up and speak. Those moments when you want us to rise up and act. When you want us to rise up and do. I pray, Father, that we will be people of faith and we will do just that. That we will respond as we should respond. That we won't be silent, but we will speak. And so, God, help us to do this. Help us to be faithful. God, help us to just put everything aside and not worry about consequences of our actions, whether we're going to lose a friend or whether or not people are going to dislike us or whatever. I just pray, Father, that we recognize that obedience to you is all that is important. That's the most important thing in life. Help us to always know that, God, and help us to always be obedient. We love you, we thank you, and it is through the name of Jesus that we pray. And this morning, that if we have any that have never obeyed the gospel and you would like to obey the gospel, I pray and hope you'll respond this morning. Jesus says, you will die in your sins if you believe not that I am He. And so if you don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, if you don't believe He's the Christ who came from God to redeem you, you will die lost. He came to save you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I hope this morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, you will respond. And this morning, if you've been unfaithful, I hope you'll come and rededicate your commitment to Jesus. Whatever needs you have, if you just need prayer, whatever your need is, please come as we stand.